This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 and this is the evening edition with Lynn. On to the next story. And this is what we're focusing on. We have a political update, actually, and a national update that has gathered steam throughout the day. So multiple reports have been circling about a possible state of emergency being called in the country, although it is important to say right at the top that it's not yet been officially confirmed, and it has been suggested that it will not take the same form as our previous national emergency, which you might remember or from the history books or having lived through it in 1969. So apparently this is meant to allow the government to address a couple of things, to better tackle the COVID-19 pandemic and to put a pause on talks of political instability. And this is because, according to the Straits Times, an emergency would allow the government to suspend parliament and prevent snap polls. So these reports really stemmed from a special cabinet meeting that was called this morning by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, which was also attended by the Attorney General, Inspector General of Police and the Armed Forces Chief. Currently, the latest that's been reported is from Bernama, which has reported that Tan Sri Muhyiddin has arrived at Istana Abdul Aziz in Kuantan for an audience with the Yang Dipertuan Agong. And several sources have also confirmed that a special meeting of the rulers has been called. So as has been the case for much of this year, a lot of uncertainty surrounding this. We're waiting, as everyone else is, for updates or some sort of confirmation. And if there is going to be one, you are going to hear it here first, of course. But in the meantime, we also wanted to look at, well, what would be the effects of this? Like I said, I think for many of us, when we hear the term state of emergency, what we know is what we learned or what we may have experienced at the time. And that was, in its day, you know, quite extreme. Its presence was very deeply felt. It affected, at least in the immediate sense, a lot of people's lives. And so, as a country that has been going through some political instability, also living through movement control orders, I think there are a lot of questions here about what this would mean in terms of our daily lives. How would it impact us? How will it be different from the movement control order? What impact would this have on, I don't know, the constitution, the government, and potential elections? So all these things are circling at the moment, and we wanted to start today by looking at some of these questions and also understanding what is a state of emergency. If you have any questions or thoughts on this, do send them through. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And we are going to be speaking after this with Philip Kaur, who is an advocate and solicitor who has actually co-counseled in major public law cases involving constitutional issues. So hopefully Philip will help us clear up some of the confusion surrounding this and give us a 101 of sorts. Again, any questions you might have on this, call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:12 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking today about a potential state of emergency being called. As we said, this has been circling and circulating throughout the day, and the latest that's been reported is that the Prime Minister has arrived at Istana Abdul Aziz in Kuantan for an audience with the Yang Dipertuan Agong. So we'll see what comes of that. So far, no official confirmations on this front at all yet. But we thought, nevertheless, we wanted to look at what this might potentially mean and what the law covers in this regard. If you'd like to ask any questions, have any thoughts, you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on the line with us is Philip Kaur, advocate and solicitor who has co-counseled in major public law cases involving constitutional issues. Philip, thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Lynn. A pleasure.
So as a refresher then, what does a state of emergency entail and what does it cover?
The power to proclaim the emergency vests in the Prime Minister with the Cabinet, having made that decision, approaching the Yang Dipertuan Agong, whereupon, if the Yang Dipertuan Agong, under the constitutional provision of Article 150, The word says, if the Yang Di Patuan Agong is satisfied that a grave emergency exists, whereby the security or the economic life or public order of the nation, all right, is threatened, then he may issue that proclamation of emergency and make a declaration to that effect.
Right. And so what would the processes be then before that needs to happen, you know, leading up to a declaration?
The decision-making, as I just articulated, the process commences with the executive arm of the government. Mm. Executive arm of the government is vested in the cabinet, speaking through an authorized minister, and in this case, the prime minister himself, the office holder. And the cabinet, we have learned from the media, has met today, and it appears that they have made the decision to promulgate and to advise the Yang Di Patuan Agong as to the promulgation of the emergency. So what we have here is that there was a cabinet meeting in the morning. The prime minister now, after procuring from the chief secretary of the government, who takes the minutes of the cabinet, and drafting a proclamation of emergency, approaches the king. And in that approach, the king, if he being satisfied, as I just read, that there's a grave emergency that exists, he may then issue that proclamation. Now, an interesting question arises. Does the Yang Di Patuan Agong have any discretion in this matter? The normal fundamental democratic governance is that the constitutional monarch will act and shall act upon the advice of the cabinet through the minister that is authorized, and in this case, the prime minister. And this is so stated under Article 40 of our federal constitution, where it clearly states that the Yang Di Patuan Agong shall act in accordance with the advice of the cabinet or of a minister acting under the authority of the cabinet. Mm. But interesting for us is this phrase, except as otherwise provided by this constitution. Now, does the constitution provide except as otherwise in terms of a proclamation of emergency? Many constitutional lawyers would say, generally, the Yang Di Patuan Agong ought fundamentally not to differ with the opinion or the decision of the cabinet, because in Article 40, it is said that there are only three categories of constitutional discretion that the monarch has. In Article 40, subclause 2, it is stated that Yang Di Patuan Agong may act in his discretion in the performance of the following functions: in the appointment of Prime Minister, the withholding of consent for a request to the dissolution of Parliament, or the requisitioning of a conference of rulers, although it adds, and in any other case mentioned in this constitution. Now, there will be juristic differences of opinion whether the phrase Article 150, the Yang Di Patuan Agong is satisfied, means that he has a discretion to decide whether or not an emergency exists, or he should, as in normal conventional practice, a prime minister with a cabinet decision approaching him, he should readily consent to that proclamation. The whole the country and citizens of this country awaits that decision this evening after the prime minister have met the monarch, and we would be guided by the announcement that may be issued by the palace thereupon.
And so as we wait for that, I mean, I think that there is this desire to know what effect might this have on our daily lives. You know, how would living under a state of emergency differ from what we're seeing right now?
Well, immediately, if a proclamation of emergency takes place, all right, the Houses of Parliament, unless they are sitting already in existence, and at the moment, we all know that the Parliament, both houses, especially the lower house, which is of importance, is only scheduled to sit in early November. And in the end of November, there would be money bills or the budget being passed. For listeners of BFM, I would presume that your listeners are, of course, stakeholders in the commercial and capital market. They will be interested to know, if Parliament is suspended and not sitting, will then the issue of money bills, the budget, not being passed, cause a paralysis of business and commercial life? Now, I pose that question in a way to answer it. Okay, Lynn, are you following me?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, this is of interest because we again refer to the Federal Constitution, and Article 150 provides the domain of which that the Yang Di Pertuan Ogong can promulgate such ordinances as circumstances appear to the Agong for him to require to promulgate, to take immediate action. In other words, the Federal Constitution do not completely envisage a paralysis of government action. The only thing it does is it suspends the legislature, right, and in some way immunize itself even from interrogation from the judicial authorities, because another article, the Article 150, also provides that the satisfaction of the Yang Di Pertuan Agong in promulgating emergency is to be considered final and conclusive and shall not be challenged or called in question in any court or any ground. No court should also have jurisdiction to entertain or determine any application, question or proceeding regarding the proclamation, regarding the continued operation of the proclamation, or any ordinance. Now, that is the part I read earlier. The Yang Di Pertuan Agong, obviously, under the advice and the process guided by the executive arm, which is still in operation, the Prime Minister and his cabinet, together with the Attorney General's chambers, could promulgate emergency regulations to guide the operation of the nation accordingly.
I did want to ask some questions that have come in from listeners. So Jeevan says, is there any idea on the duration, when it comes to a state of emergency? Yes. Can it continue indefinitely?
No, it doesn't carry on indefinitely, because under Article 150, subclause 7, at the expiration of a period of 6 months, beginning of the date of which the proclamation is issued, and it will cease to be enforced, all right? A proclamation of emergency has a duration of 6 months. It is interesting. The Reid Commission, which promulgated the Parliament, actually recommended only a duration of 2 months. But the Federal Constitution, Article 150, has been amended the most times in constitutional history, over 10 times. One of the most amended articles under our Federal Constitution. So what we have is that a proclamation is in force only for a period of 6 months. Obviously, it can be reissued. If the cabinet sits again and the Prime Minister decides that it should be a new proclamation should be issued, the 150 could be invoked again. The cabinet could make the decision and approach the Tuanku for a fresh proclamation.
Another question via Twitter. Will this action infringe the rights of the rakyat under Article 5 of the Federal Constitution? Could it be challenged in court, for instance?
Well, under the promulgation of Article 150, Chapter 5, Fundamental Liberties of the Rakyat, can all be subjected to be overruled by ordinances that could be passed by the executive authority through the Yang Di Pertuan, office of the Yang Di Pertuan Agong. Essentially, it's the executive arm that makes the ordinances. We saw this in the 1969, May 13, post-May 13, 1969 emergency regulations. A slew of regulations was promulgated, which suspended fundamental liberties of accused persons. And in fact, challenges to the court as to the constitutionality of the proclamation, together with its impingement on fundamental liberties, have never succeeded.
Now, I think another thing that's on people's minds is the fact that this is happening amid long-running talks around snap polls and election. How does one affect the other?
Well, once the proclamation of emergency takes place, I think we need to await what decisions is made by the executive arm in terms of promulgating the ordinances. It is clear that they could pass unless the whole effluxion of time of parliament for the full 5 years, then you have quite a much more complex issue. In terms of state polls, snap polls, or even state by-election, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I would reckon that they could be readily suspended. Under Article 150, the proclamation of emergency, the executive can direct and extend to any matter, even within the legislative authority of the state, or to the giving of directions to the government of the state. I mean, let's talk about Sarawak state elections that was speculated, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Under the article, it could be argued that the executive government under Perikatan could now tell the state government of Sarawak, and also perhaps Election Commission, because they are a body under law, to say that you shall not conduct a state election during this period. Now, we are into very interesting waters here, because we know that these are issues not yet adjudicated at all by the courts. Although earlier I said that the challenges have failed, most of those challenges concern detentions under ISA, or prosecution under increased firearms penalties and various emergency promulgations, which the petitioner of the case argues that is unconstitutional. Those fail. But if it adjudicates between federal and state, there could be interesting issues arising out of such a challenge, although that will require a state government challenging the same.
So we just have about a minute left. And you mentioned earlier that under an emergency, the legislature could be suspended. Would this mean that theoretically then cabinet would be able to pass and amend laws?
Yes, of course.
Mm.
Precisely. The check and balance of separation of powers in a state of emergency provides an unusual convergence of authority and power. Now, as I say this, I would like to add a comment. Notwithstanding that one could scarcely challenge it in court, and I'm not saying that no, never, ever it can, there will be interesting arguments of basic features which has been laid down by some recent federal court decisions that may be taken up, which has not been ever been taken up by the earlier cases. More interesting, I think, although we are talking as a lawyer, I'm talking as a lawyer, but speaking as a thoughtful citizen, we all know that there are issues of what we call, in political analysis, public reason. Under the bar of public reason, which a foremost 20th century political thinker called John Rawls would argue, what is the consensus of the public as to any executive action? One may clothe it with the rule of law or rule by law, all right? The law as adhered and complied to under the federal constitution may be cleaved to the letter. But concerned citizens and the discourse that will arise, and this discourse, I think, under any democratic polity, would argue and may be debated, is it, in fact, reasonable and rational for emergency to be declared under circumstances that has been thrown up by the pandemic? Now, I'm not here to substitute the judgment and wisdom of the cabinet, nor the prime minister, and finally, of course, the wise and sagacious decision-making of the Tuanku himself. But nothing would stop reasonable citizens raising these issues, whether in the bar of public reason, the declaration of emergency is in fact going to be beneficial to the economic life. To be sure, emergency normally are declared when there's a threat to national security, to public order, or to the economic life. Now, it is interesting. Some may argue that a proclamation of emergency, unless clearly demarcated may in fact impair economic life because investors and capital market may be jittery. However, that is something we need to see how the market or the economic life may react. So to say, and this is my personal opinion, that this is to lead to more political stability, that is not a category under Article 150. 150 proclamation envisages threat to national security, to the economic life, and to public order. Are those threats objectively there at the moment? It's something we like to know. And in a sense, the cabinet has declared it is so. But the media seems to have picked up that this is a very unusual emergency. This emergency allows ordinary life to carry on. There is no curfew. All right. Then one would argue, why isn't the National Securities Council Act as amended, which was very well done, the amendment, to allow the Agong to take its role in check and balance, why isn't the National Security Council Act being used instead? All right. For example, if there's a red area, red zone, and we need to declare it a security area, the National Security Council Act 2016, and as amended, would permit the government to control the red zone and, in fact, even declare curfew without a proclamation of urgency impairing the life of the other arms and organs of the government. That, to me, is a legitimate question to pose to the Perikatan National Government of the day. I hope my remarks are helpful to your listeners, and I thank you for your patience in hearing my short discourse.
Philip, thank you very much for joining us. I think that helped tremendously in terms of clearing up what it is that we need to understand about the situation. That was lawyer Philip Kaur talking to us about how and why a state of emergency is declared. If you have any questions, do send them through. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.